I'm Gregory Berg. During the month of March, which is Women's History Month, I'm going to be replaying some of my most memorable interviews with noteworthy women. And today is certainly one of those, an interview which I was privileged to record back in 2003 with Queen Noor, who served as Queen of Jordan from 1978 till 1999, an activist and philanthropist still very much with us. Here is that interview. And words scarcely convey the sense of pleasure and honor that I have in speaking for the next few minutes with Queen Noor and about her extraordinary book called Leap of Faith, Memoirs of an Unexpected Life. And her life indeed lives up to that in that she was for many years the devoted wife of King Hussein of Jordan through tumultuous and important years. And we have Queen Noor with us for a few minutes to talk about that. Queen Noor, we welcome you to the morning show and we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Greg. It's a pleasure.
May I ask you first, what was it like to sit down and try to put into words such extraordinary events, these years spent as the wife of King Hussein?
Well, it was both extremely challenging, sometimes painful, but mostly joyful. And that is because for me and for friends and colleagues and family that joined with me in reminiscing and trying to fill out a picture of the life and the work of King Hussein and the culture and cultural context of the world that he lived in, of Jordan in the past and today, and to try to provide a more complete picture, perhaps, of the history and the suffering of so many in our region over so many decades. It's been a very rewarding experience, very educational experience, but as I said, there were also times when it made us cry.
I'm sure. One of the most interesting things about the book, you talk about being courted by the King of Jordan, which does not happen every day, and of course one of the things which made this situation even more richly complicated was that you were not only to become the wife of the King of Jordan, but you were going to become the stepmother of his eight children, some of whom had really already tasted all kinds of sorrow and loss in their life. I mean, quite apart from the whole issue of clash of cultures and so on, you were facing a formidable personal challenge in stepping into this new life.
That's right, and it was enormously challenging. It was also full of joy and family discovery, if you will. And we pretty much lived together the extraordinary journeys of each of, in the end, 12 children. Through adolescence and now the older five of marriage and children and families, and that was very much of a character building learning experience, and also one in which I grew to so admire and learn so much from my husband, who was such a devoted father and for whom his family, not only his children, but the larger family as well, was such an important part of his life, and also so many of whom worked with him to help him in any way possible, the development of Jordan, but also the search for peace in the Middle East.
You talk about how the early days of your marriage were an adjustment period, as they all are for all married people, but of course yours were more pronounced in, as you say, I had married into my husband's life much more than he had married into mine. And in particular, you found such difficulty in coming to terms with the lack of privacy, which was an almost brutal reality really every day of your married life.
It's true. I describe on our honeymoon, in fact, when the World Cup soccer was taking place at the same time that we were trying to find a few days of peace and quiet in Scotland, and that at every moment, every meal that we had, every moment it seemed throughout the day, some member or another from the entourage, a driver, a security member, and others would be coming up with the scores of the World Cup soccer. And we really never seemed to have a quiet moment for conversation. And that was just the beginning. In our home and elsewhere, there were always people around. And I was essentially a private person, and it was an enormous adjustment to make. Over time, these people gradually just became part of our extended family in my eyes and heart as well. But initially, it was quite daunting, I must say.
You make a very interesting observation also about the whole matter of privacy when you say that there was a negative aspect of trying to maintain privacy in that in the absence of information, people would begin making things up. And so you were actually faced with sort of a delicate balancing act of sorts.
Yeah, you know, you're the first person who's raised that in conversations with me over the book. And it was something. It took some time for me to realize that, in fact, you had to judge with whom and under what circumstances and what information would be useful while at the same time maintaining my husband's privacy and also state secrets and other matters. But it was important to try to find a balance in which people understood what we were trying to accomplish and could feel a part of that to as great an extent as possible without jeopardizing anyone's personal right to privacy or, more importantly, what was very important to keep discreet for the sake of the state.
One of the greatest challenges you faced was that you envisioned for yourself a more, let's say, tangibly meaningful role. I think you say at one point that you were anxious to contribute to the well-being of your new country, but we're trying to sort out the way in which you could do that and live out a life in which you were more than a ceremonial ornament. And your husband, when you asked for help, said that he had complete faith in you. You have never made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And you almost wished for more than that, but appreciated the assurance that he gave. As you look back now, what is your sense of the way you navigated really uncharted waters?
Well, I began with what I knew and what I had learned growing up that seemed to have been important in the society I grew up in. So I, in fact, began with remembering how during the President Kennedy's administration there had been such an emphasis placed on sports and fitness and health, and recognizing that for many, many Jordanians that wasn't possible. There simply weren't facilities available. And it was clear that our young people and many others might environmental awareness. And just as in the United States and any other country in the world, it's terribly challenging to try to strike a balance, especially with governments and officials in government bureaucracy and in the business sector, try to strike an effective balance between economic interests and short-term political interests and the long-term importance of promoting environmental conservation and sustainability. So I joined and have been active with our conservation society over many years. Those two areas and an emphasis on education and trying to provide scholarships for students wishing to study in areas where we had no qualified manpower, sometimes in specific areas of education, in areas that might range from programming for children on television or hospital management or a range of fields in the country where we had no qualified manpower and didn't want to depend on foreign manpower, we tried to provide scholarship opportunities for promising students. And so education, sports, if you will, and health and fitness, and the environment were the first areas I tried to fill gaps in.
May I ask one last question?
Yes, of course.
You really do a remarkable job, I must say, about talking about very complex political events which move through the turbulent Middle East, and in particular give us sort of another perspective that we had not stopped to think about on things like the Camp David Accord, which was seen in one light here in the United States, but of course viewed very differently in the Middle East. At one point you say that your husband, King Hussein, always emphasized that true peace is not created by treaties between governments, but must be built between people. Tell us how your husband tried to do that.
Well, he made a unique contribution in this area through his own personal example, let alone through his efforts to work with other political leaders. I guess the simplest way of putting it is two events. One, when Prime Minister Rabin died, against a great deal of pressure, and because it was a very challenging, still a challenging period in Israeli-Arab relations, he went to his funeral and spoke from his heart about the importance of rising above the past and the bitter memories and anger and bitter and if you will, prejudice of the past in order to make peace, and spoke very movingly of Prime Minister Rabin's contribution to peace. That had an enormous impact on people. It made some Arabs very angry, but there were so many Arabs that also mourned the passing of someone who had contributed to peacemaking for both sides in the region. But on another example, again a very personal example, when a group of young Israeli schoolgirls were killed by a Jordanian soldier that had just gone berserk one day, he went over to grieve with their families, to join with their parents and friends, and to offer his condolences from his heart again. And these two examples of just common humanity, of reaching out with the heart to empathize and to share in the suffering of people who were perceived to be the enemy and who had looked at him and at Arabs and Muslims as enemies, broke through the most entrenched barriers that had existed for so many years, and really helped give a human and noble face to a people, Arabs and Muslims, who in fact are compassionate, are tolerant, do long for peace, and can empathize with the suffering of others. So that's just one simple way of describing the way that he, on a personal level, was able to break through in ways that I think if there's more of that in our region, that we'll be far more successful at achieving peace.
The book is Leap of Faith, Memoirs of an Unexpected Life, Queen Noor, the author, and proceeds from the book go to the King Hussein Foundation to support its mission to sustain King Hussein's lifelong commitment to the building of peace. Your Majesty, a real pleasure and honor to speak with you, and may I congratulate you on a truly superb book.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you so much.